And good afternoon. It is Tuesday, March 19th of 2024. I don't know what I was about to try to say, but anyway, it's 2024. Welcome to Sports Lounge Live, show number 287. We're going to start out with college basketball, and I think that's going to get some interesting discussion today because there are a few things the committee did that I think people want to question, and this is, and that happens every year, of course. So we will talk about that. But, Chris, there are other sports that we are also going to cover.
There are. And happy spring, everybody. At 11:06 this evening.
11:06 tonight.
11:06 Eastern. That's when it comes in. And then we also, it's, what is it, the day when the Swallows come back to Capistrano. And that's whatever. So
spring
we're going to do.
Spring is coming at 11:06 tonight. And this weekend, we are going to have a combination of rain, snow, and thunderstorms.
Yeah, that sounds very Midwestern.
Yes.
Okay. So yes, we're going to do college basketball. We're going to talk, do our final four picks, actually, right off the bat, and then sort of talk about the field and the matchups and how we think the regions are going to line up. And as Perry said, how the committee did things. We'll talk a little bit about the women. Went through and got the top four seeds in each of the regions and for the women, so we can talk a little about that. I don't know much about it, but we can still put it in there. There's still a ton of NFL news. Our friend Rick is not going to be with us today, but he gave me some extra names that I didn't have, some stuff I didn't know, so we've got a whole bunch of that. We got baseball. Baseball is technically going to open tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Eastern time because in South Korea, the Dodgers and Padres are going to play. I think each team gets a home game out of that when they flip-flop.
They do. The Padres will be the home team tomorrow. The Dodgers will be the home team Thursday.
Yeah. And then if we have time, we'll get to NASCAR and golf and, you know, all that stuff. But who knows what we'll have time for because it's such a busy sports day. We have the coaching carousel in college, too. So let's get started. And I'm going to pick my final four, and then we can talk a little bit about the tournament. Everybody can come in. Robert and Sean come in and see what they have to say about it. But my final four, despite the fact that it's a tough region, as Perry will point out when we get into the discussion, I'm going to take UConn. I'm going to take Arizona, Houston, and Tennessee. And Connecticut and Houston have been the top teams pretty much all year. Arizona's been okay. And I guess the next person to go, I think, would be because Rick is not here. So we have Bill, do you have a final four?
Let's see. UConn, I'm going to take Purdue.
Okay.
And if Houston's not in the same bracket, I don't think they are.
They're not.
I'll take them. Let's see. And we'll put Tennessee in there.
Okay. So, so I guess, Perry, what do you think?
I'm going to go a little bit off the boat here a little bit. That UConn bracket is awfully tough, and they have been all year. They've not really had – I mean, yeah, they lost that one to Creighton, but I think Iowa State's going to get them because Iowa State is hot right now. I like Purdue and Tennessee and Houston.
Okay.
Sean?
Well – I think I'm going to go. I kind of agree with Perry that Iowa State in there because UConn in their bracket, they got Iowa State, Illinois, Auburn, the top seeds. Plus, they got on their side of the bracket San Diego State and Florida Atlantic, which were in the Final Four with them last year. So I got Iowa State coming out of that one. I got Houston, Tennessee, and I have North Carolina coming out of that one. I think North Carolina's going to be a little upset. Taken out, because they lost to NC State. So, yeah.
Robert, go ahead with yours, I'll give you kind of a little warning about Auburn. Go ahead, Robert.
Okay.
Where's Robert?
Robert, he doesn't have a final four.
He must be doing something.
While that's happening, I have a question, though, Perry. And I sort of brought it up in our group and didn't get a response, and I'm wondering what you think. There was sort of a talk on the show on CBS on Sunday evening that people were kind of wondering why Iowa State didn't get a number one, and they sort of said something about them being penalized for schedules. I don't know. I mean, it just seems
they
like
didn't. A, no, know. That's correct. They didn't have a real tough non-conference schedule. But anything you don't have in the non-conference, you make up because the Big 12. That is a. Yeah. I don't care who you're playing. One to the whole way through, the Big 12 is a war every night. I don't care who you're playing.
Yep.
So, but what they did is Iowa State didn't get a number one seed, but they put Iowa State in Omaha.
Yeah.
So that will be two home games for Iowa State, and you will also find a lot of Drake fans. You know, for as long as they're alive, you'll find a lot of that. So the state of Iowa will probably be infiltrating Omaha this week.
Yeah.
But just to give you a warning about Auburn, think about putting Auburn in your bracket. I'm not telling you don't do it, but Auburn is one of these teams. And I listened, of course, to a lot of the SEC tournament because Ole Miss is there, and I was following Mississippi State to see how they did. But Auburn is one of these teams that if they can get you to react to something, if you know what, they'll do it. There's two players in particular, Chad Baker Mazzara and KD Johnson. If they can get you to do something, they'll do it. So, if it depends on what the referees do. They had a game against Mississippi State on Saturday that took, I kid you not, over 2.5 hours because the referees were at the monitor so many times because those two teams were so chippy with each other.
Yeah, that sounds like Georgetown in the 80s. You were always going to get a kerfuffle with Georgetown all the time.
And they do it because if they can get away with it, because normally what happens is the official doesn't see the first guy. He sees the reaction.
Yeah.
And if that happens, because on Friday they had a pretty good dust up with South Carolina, and I was listening on the SEC radio network, and the announcers were saying, well, see, Mazzara started it, but they got this guy because he reacted to it.
Yeah. So, Sean, do you have any thoughts on the field before we start getting into, you know, the conference breakdown, some of the other stuff we got?
Well, Purdue has an easy region, I think, on their side of the bracket. But Purdue is going to be Purdue, and I think we know. But we got Texas and Rick Barnes kind of a matchup if that goes away in the second rounds because their old coach and their new coach, and then Marquette kind of scares me because Shaka Smart. I mean, his record in the tournament. I mean, they're a number two seed.
Yeah,
his record is not very well. Like I said, I think the toughest bracket is that UConn region, especially like I said, three of the final four. I think the big part of it is also the five bid busters, as they call it. You had UAB, New Mexico, North Carolina State, Duquesne and Oregon, all keeping some teams out, and that affected some other teams like Indiana State and Oklahoma. I honestly think those two got screwed, and St. John. I think those three schools really got screwed, and this is the first time they've had 10 seeds in the play-in games, or the first four, as they call them now, because they said that affected it because they were up till 2 in the morning trying to get these teams in instead of having an 11 or 12, which would have, because I think Indiana State would have been in, but you had, like, NC State, only the second team to win five games in a conference tournament,
and I think you tip your hat to that team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and UConn, when they did it in 2011, they went all the way. They did it 2011. Yeah. That's an amazing statistic that they did that.
That was Syracuse, wasn't it?
No, because they said that the last Power Five conference that won, you know, or Power Six in basketball that did it was UConn in 2011. And that's
there
year
might
they
be
won
three
the,
times because didn't that Jerry McNamara team
Syracuse
do it?
Syracuse did one too, and I don't remember whether that was before. Must have been before.
That was before they went to five. That was before they went to five.
But yeah, maybe so. Maybe it was a smaller conference. I don't know. But they
you
did,
wonder
they
how
did
much gas run. In the tank they have, though, UConn. Or I mean, NC State. You wonder how much more gas is left in their tank. Because in that overtime game that they played was it Wednesday or Thursday? I think
Virginia,
it was
against Thursday. Virginia on Friday. Yeah, I think
you kind of thought they were out of gas then.
Yeah,
and sure enough, they came back and won that one. Let's bring on Jerry. Jerry, come on in. What do you think about the tournament?
Well, I'm going, maybe you think I'm crazy. I'm going to go with UConn.
Oh, we do, Jerry. That's a given. Go right ahead, though.
I want to go with UConn to win it all.
Okay.
I think I'll go with UConn. I really admire North Carolina State. I mean, 5 games in 5 days. I wonder how long they could keep it up, too. Kind of disappointed that Pitt turned down the NIT. But I don't.
And we'll get
Duquesne.
To that. And we'll get to that story, we'll Jerry, that. In a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't look for Duquesne to do much, but I'm just going to go with UConn to go all the way.
Yeah, I'm picking them to go all the way. Yes, and out of the Final Fours, I'm picking UConn to win mine. What about Sean and Perry? What do you guys pick? Or if you're national champion, I forgot to ask you.
I'm picking Houston.
I'm going to go.
Go ahead, Bill.
I'm going to Houston.
Houston, okay.
I think
I'm going Tennessee.
Tennessee for Sean.
I'm going to go with my heart a little bit here. I hope Iowa State.
Why not? Why not?
Let's bring on Dick to the discussion. Hey, Dick.
Hello, everybody.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm still disappointed that my alma mater, Loyola, didn't get into the NCAA, but they're in the NIT, and hopefully they'll win.
Yeah?
Oh, I hope Iowa State wins, too. You know, Purdue always finds a way to lose early in these tournaments. They'll probably do it again.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing with Purdue, though, Dick, this tournament is, just like with the Iowa women, and we'll get to that, but just like with them, this is it. They have to win with Zach Edey, or he's gone. You know, he's gone after this year.
Hey, who's going to broadcast it? Where will I be able to hear March Madness?
Westwood One. If you do you have an A device, Dick?
Oh yes.
Have enable your Westwood One sports skill, and then when the games start, you just open that skill, and it will ask you what team you want to listen to. Or it'll give you a schedule or all that sorts of stuff.
Good. All right.
There will be some
tune in live on it.
Yeah, tune in live probably won't be able to do it, I don't think.
They should be able to because the Varsity Network is.
Okay, because so they didn't do the conference tournaments very well, so I don't know what happened with some of the schools. But they should do the NIT, okay. Also, there will occasionally be flagships or local affiliates that will stream. That will happen. We don't know how many or when or what, and they may get cut off in the middle. That's happened too, but occasionally you get that.
You know, WJOB, they handle Purdue, so I wonder, and they always live stream. Maybe they'll be doing
it. Yep.
They could. I mean,
if they always do it, they probably will. Go ahead, Sean.
Okay, well, and last year, what happened, the Westwood One feeds were on TuneIn Live. The regular team feeds were Varsity Network. But they had a thing that come up, and I didn't know this. Craig Way talked about it. He said, like, 2 days before, certain universities that had the feeds on their school websites, like TexasSports.com, they allowed them to stream it on the website, but they weren't technically supposed to run it on the deal. But it's all some deal that because Westwood One owns all the streaming rights,
and
Learfield had to get permission. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, so looking at the conference breakdown, we can probably do that, and then you guys can comment on that, especially you guys' conferences were involved in with a lot of teams. SEC ended up with 8. The Big 12 had 8. Big 10 had 6. Mountain West had 6. ACC had 5, a little more than people maybe thought. NC State maybe snuck in, but they might have gotten,
Well, they would have had 4 had NC State not won.
Yeah, so that might have been where they grabbed that one. Pac-12, the last Pac-12 will have 4 of those.
They would have had 3 if Oregon wouldn't have won.
Yeah, Big East just had the 3. So what they did, there was a big mishmash from 4 through 9 in the Big East, Villanova, Providence, St. John's, Seton Hall, Butler, and they were all pretty comparable, Xavier. So they ended up with just the 3. They just took the top 3, and that's all they did. And then we have the A-10 with 2, and they would have just, I'm sure, had the 1 if, Dayton had won it there. West Coast had 2, America had 2, and then 22 had 1. So there you go.
And the American might have gotten one more had there not been so many upsets.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, had there not been, because that tournament was wild. I mean, if you kept track of that at all.
It was wild.
So the first 4 out were Indiana State, Oklahoma, Seton Hall and Villanova, they said. And Villanova did look like, I think they had another injury, but they were looking like they were going to pull ahead of that group that I just mentioned. And they, if they could have maintained that, they might have got in there, but they did not.
A lot of Big East fans were complaining about Seton Hall because they had some big wins, like they beat UConn. So a lot of people were complaining about Seton Hall with the committee, too. Go ahead, Sean.
Well, I was hearing, okay, a lot of people were complaining about the Mountain West was six. I mean, yeah, well, you know, New Mexico only got in because they won their tournament. But people were saying, why are Nevada and Colorado State in? They should have had three, and that affected some of the Big East. But like I said, you had, because you had the Mountain West getting six, and then you had the five bid stealers. Because what I heard is possibly a South Florida or Memphis could have got in, but you had all these upsets in America. That's the two. And then, of course, Oklahoma was affected, the Big 12, because all year we heard Big 12 getting nine. They were one of the first ones. Yeah, they were affected.
Yeah, what I wonder is everybody else was affected. You know, of course, I would really put out a bid for Indiana State. I really think Indiana State should have made it. But everybody said there were going to be six out of the Mountain West. Why weren't they affected by any of the bid stealers? I mean, everybody else pretty much was.
Yeah.
Why didn't they get affected? I understand
they
that. Why didn't, when New Mexico
why
won,
did the Big East and ACC and others get hurt?
That should have taken somebody from their conference out, not other people.
Right, right.
Because New Mexico clearly had to beat those teams, you know, to win the tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, New Mexico beat Colorado State. They beat Colorado State. And that's the thing. They're questioning why. That's why a lot of people are questioning why Nevada and Colorado State were in there and not a couple of those Big East or Indiana State. I've heard that several people saying, why are those two there to get the Mountain West? Because, I mean, yeah, the Mountain West, I mean, San Diego State's great. Boise State's good. You know, Utah State is just, if you've seen them play, they're real good. They're a sleeper team. But, you know, Nevada, Colorado State, why are they there?
Yeah.
Right. So the problem that you have, though, and the committee chairman was on with Chris Russo and Steve Torrey, and overall, I thought he handled the interview well. But from what he basically said to them is, we just used our strict guidelines that they gave us. We didn't apply any common sense or anything like that. One thing Indiana State can point to, though, you know, we all hear about the rankings, the net rankings and all this stuff.
Yep.
Virginia got in. Virginia's net ranking is down around 60. Indiana State's is 29. Couldn't you use just a little bit of common sense there? Okay, we can't take a team that's got a 60 net.
No.
And then they talk about, well, Indiana State didn't have any big wins. Well, here's the reason that Indiana State didn't have any big wins. And I mean, I've heard it over the years because Ben Jacobson from Northern Iowa has said it. And now you hear Josh Schertz from Indiana State and Darren DeVries from Drake. Nobody wants to come to our place and play. And Jacobson said what he won't do. And a lot of these teams don't like to do it. Well, you can come to our place, you know, if you're, we'll say it's Duke. You can go to Duke, you know, two times, but we're not giving you a home game. And Jacobson said, that's just not right.
No, no.
And so he said, you need chances to get these wins. And unless you get into, frankly, Northern Iowa is a very lucky program. And I would say that for this reason. Northern Iowa was always invited to these bigger tournaments. Mm-hmm. Because of how good they typically are, and maybe that'll change with Drake and Indiana State as they get better, you know, and consistently are up there. But that's how you get your wins, is when you're invited to these big November tournaments.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so the teams that are not, some of the teams not playing in the, who volunteered not to play in the NIT were Mississippi, Oklahoma, St. John's, and Pitt, and I think we, and Memphis, we
Memphis,
know.
Yep.
And I think Syracuse is probably one, too, because they had 20 wins, and I would think they were.
They
so, yeah, I was asking Miss A early in the morning the next day when we didn't have any times for anything, and just, when's the next Boston College game? And I heard they were going to be playing, you know, Providence, and that's good. But, you know, then I was like, asking about Pitt, no game. Syracuse, no game. And I'm like, what's going on? Because BC would have been behind them for getting into that. You know, you can only take so many, again, even in that tournament from a conference. So BC got in, and I'm glad they did, because I'll tell you what, this is the first time they've been in postseason since 2018, a one trip to the NIT then, and they have been healthy, and they've been playing well. So Providence is a tough team for them to play. They probably won't win that one, but at least to get in the postseason, the kids want to play together. Some of them are leaving, you know, after the year. They've stayed. They've not been transferring out. But some of them, you know, are getting Quentin Post getting ready to leave. And, you know, so I think this is a good thing for them to be in there. So
one thing to
point
out.
Good for the fans, too, to have the players, you know, play.
Yep. Well, a couple things to point out, though, with the NIT this year. Remember in past years, if a conference in a mid-major thing, if you win your conference but you don't win your tournament, there was an automatic bid. That's not the case anymore. They didn't do those automatic bids anymore. And also, new for the NIT this year, their Final Four is not at Madison Square Garden. It'll be at the Hinkle Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. So that's different from the NIT.
Oh, okay. So it'll be there at the same time. Okay, right after the NCAA.
Yep.
Okay. And, I guess the reason that coaches, they're doing it like the bowls, and I guess this has gotten more widespread this year than maybe the last couple of years. I'd kind of heard about it, but where they're saying because of the transfer portal, they want to get out there and recruit. They don't want to be, they just need to move the whole transfer portal back till the day after the championship game. I mean,
that's what they need to do. That's what they need to do with it. In every sport, the transfer portal should start after your championship is over. Go ahead, Bill.
That's right.
Just a point on that. It's going to get to the point they're skipping out on the NIT this year. What if a team says, we don't want to go to the NCAA, or we don't want to do this, we don't want to do that? I think it's swung too far the other way now.
I don't think they'll ever do that. Although what the NCAA may do, and they've been talking about it, is maybe they'll expand to 96 teams or something, or some number, 92, whatever, and that might kill the NIT anyway.
You know, I have heard, though, Chris, over the last few days because you heard Charlie Baker come out and say there would be some announcement at the end. I have heard more fans this year than ever before that are way against expanding.
I am.
I think the fans think I agree, there's enough teams, win your games, generally speaking, win your games and you're going to have a chance.
Yep.
But they need to move the portal back to after.
And there will always be a controversy. 93, if it's 92, 93,
right.
BC would be 93 and mad that they didn't get in or whatever it is, you know, so something would happen like that.
Who's to say, I'm sure they would, but who's to say that Turner is going to want to give that much programming up to, to more NCAA games.
CBS.
Right. Even though probably most of those, if I were to guess, most of those games, if they would expand, would likely be on like True TV, which if you like Impractical Jokers, it's on all the time.
So before we get started with the coaching carousel, remind me again, because we've got a coach in the NCAA who was notified he was going to be fired last Monday. He's in the tournament.
Dan Munson from Long Beach State. And
Long Beach State.
He has handled it with absolute class. He said, last week he was informed on Monday they went out and won their tournament. And he said, there's not a luckier person than Dan Munson. And I mean, he wants to coach. He said that. But he said, there's not a luckier person than Dan Munson because he loves these kids and wants to go. And you know what? Maybe they'll win a game or two. Who knows? That kind of stuff can help you sometimes, or it can hurt you. Well, so far it's helped them, hasn't it, Sean?
Yeah, and it has. It has helped them. And like I said, Dan Munson, I heard a good interview. Also, real quickly on the NIT thing, with the bowl games, it's been players opting out. You've never seen it in football with coaches saying, because coaches look at it as like, we can play because – yeah, you may have a couple players that say, we're not going to play the NIT, but if you're a team in there, you still may have those 8 or 9 they're going to play. You can look at next year. But I also think, basketball, they have more options because the semesters don't end until May, so they can do football probably January 1st because you have enrolling in mid-January to semesters. And also another thing about since we're going into coaching,
Yeah.
Greg Campy, who's the coach of Oakland, the longest tenured coach, he's been there 40 years,
wow.
his fourth tournament ever. But yeah, he's the longest tenured coach, and they got Kentucky. So, I mean, 40 years at a small school like Oakland, he's had chances to go to places. He said, no, I'm happy here, you know, and
yeah.
We do what we got to do. I heard a nice interview with him. And Jerry, to answer your question, NC State, I think they'll probably going to hit something because they got Texas Tech, and if they win, they got Kentucky if Kentucky gets by Oakland. So, yeah.
The weird one, that when you talk about opting out of the NIT, the weird one to me is Ole Miss, because they haven't been to postseason in a while. I would have thought you would figure,
yeah,
why don't we go to a postseason tournament? That might help, you know, if we're on the rise, well, let's go to that postseason tournament. You know,
he loves the transfer portal.
NIT is not happy that Syracuse opted out, because that's the carrier, you know, whatever they call it these days. And that's the biggest building, and they would always have a home game in the NIT. So that's not good for the NIT. They didn't like that.
No.
That's for sure. Okay, Juwan Howard, fired by Michigan. He had a record, however, before he was fired this year after his 8-24 season of 93-61. And Sean, I guess you kind of forgot they were advancing in the NCAA very far the last few years. So not surprising that he had such a good record, but he had gotten the old vote of confidence, and that took care of him.
Yep.
So,
That's what it always does. When you get that vote of confidence, usually means it's the kiss of death.
So just so you can know how the grueling schedule that UConn will have to do, that from Storrs to Boston, it's 73 miles. They got to go 73 miles to get here for the regional. And from Storrs to New York City, 140.1. So they're just going to be breaking their backs until they have to go to Arizona. But, that's the one advantage they have.
But I would tell people, look at their bracket, though. They may have much travel, but they have the tough teams in their bracket.
They do, but they're going to have the fans. So there's that when they get,
And you know what? Not only Iowa State. I said this in our group, don't overlook that Illinois team. They are playing really well. By the way, speaking of the Illinois team, we covered the Terrence Shannon situation, and I had not heard this, but we covered this early on. The charges against him were cleared. So make sure we point that out, that he was cleared. Yeah. So
we always forget to do that.
You kind of
all
wonder,
well and good to mention the charges, and we forget to tell people that somebody's cleared. Yeah.
Well, you kind of wonder. I mean, you know how fans are. They'll give you the raspberries for anything. And I hadn't heard any fans doing that. And I said to my wife the other day, I said, why aren't they giving him the raspberries? I said, well, you'd figure they would. And then they mentioned that he was cleared. So,
okay. Louisville fired Kenny Payne. They owe him $8 million, but they fired him. And he was also 8-24 this year. Louisville was horrible. Louisville, Georgetown, DePaul. Oh man, they were bad teams this year. Trevor Alberts is now the AD, going from Nebraska to Texas A&M, and that's quite an upgrade, I guess, Perry.
That would be, yes, it would be, but. Trev Alberts, I will tell you one thing, he's not going to put up with mediocrity. I mean, he came in and he got rid of Scott Frost in Nebraska pretty quickly.
Okay. Mike Boynton, Oklahoma State, was fired. And Travis Ford at the University of St. Louis. And Jared Haas at Stanford was let go. And any more on the carousel since we had that update, Perry?
Not that I have heard, no.
Okay.
Jerry Stackhouse at Vanderbilt.
Yes, he was let go.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So we have the top four seeds in the women, and the way they do it, they have the way their regions go is Albany 1, Albany 2, Portland 1, Portland 2, Albany, New York, and Portland, Oregon. Albany 1, Albany 2, Portland 1, Portland 2. And so they have the regions at the same place. You know, they're just different regions. When they get through the sub-regionals that are happening at the higher seeds, these top seeds in each of these regions is thing, I guess, a sub-regional.
And so they do that. They do that, Chris, for a reason. The reason they do that is, unlike the men, where the men can do four regionals at different places, the women have not quite gotten to that point financially. Where, you know, they used to do it, but they haven't gotten to that point. So they have it two at each place. That way they can really do some, you know, hopefully do good financial.
But they're on the way. They're on their way. And I think in the next years, they'll be back and they'll be starting. Maybe they even have it where places where it isn't necessarily something that's a popular sport, not be in Connecticut or Tennessee, maybe go to states that you don't you know, as they advance, you know, get to the bigger buildings like Boston or Dallas or, you know, like the NCAA men do. But anyway, the number one
in the Final Four is in Cleveland, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wasn't there talk that they were going to do it in the same area as the men?
They're talking about that. They're talking about
that. They haven't done that yet. So Albany won. South Carolina is the number one. And I did it 1-4-2-3 because that's the way they came down. But that's who would play in the Sweet 16. Not, you can't ever play on a Sweet 16. But just so you know, South Carolina is one and Albany won. Number four is Indiana. Number three is Oregon State. And number two is Notre Dame. So we know how good South Carolina and Notre Dame have been over the years. Okay, Albany two. Iowa's number one with Caitlin Clark, of course. Four is Kansas State. Three is SU. Of course, we're always hearing about those guys.
Yep.
And two is UCLA. UCLA and USC both really powers in women's basketball this year.
Then and remember, if Iowa has to play Kansas State in a Sweet 16 matchup, Kansas mm-hmm. State has already beaten them once this year.
Oh, actually, it's Portland 3. So that's what they do. Albany 1 and 2, and then Portland 3 and 4. And so Portland 3 is USC's the number one there. Then 4 is Virginia Tech. 3 is UConn, and 2 is Ohio State. And then Portland 4, Texas is on top there. Number 4 is Gonzaga. Number 3, NC State. And number 2, Stanford. So there you go.
That is a pretty tough bracket there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, let's see what else we got. Okay, so the conferences, we can quickly cover this. Sean, why don't you just do it because it's probably going to be faster that way. The conferences have agreed on not the format for the playoffs, but how they're going to at least decide who gets in the playoffs. The conferences and Notre Dame had an agreement on that this week for college football.
What they decided is, all right, they accepted the ESPN deal for $1.3 billion from 2026 to 2031, and then they're going to have at least 12 teams, but they have the option to possibly go to 14, and they'll work on the format and see if they want to stay at 12 or 14. But
as I understand it, Sean, they've already gone to 14.
Well, they're saying at least 12, but probably 14 is what I've seen. That's what I heard in a couple different shows. But more than likely, you're right. But what they're going to do is the top five highest-ranked conference champions will get in. So more than likely, your Big Ten, SEC, ACC, Big 12, and then the highest group of five. And then it will be either 7 to 9 at-larges. And if Notre Dame is up there in the top 14 or 15, they will automatically get in. But it will be your next highest-ranked at-larges, whether it be 12 or 14. But it's about 90% certain that it's going to 14.
And then probably a day or two after that, it'll go to 16.
Yeah. I can't figure out how you get to 14. It's one thing to have a conference tournament like the Big Ten does, and you have and you're only trying to eliminate two teams, but you don't want to waste a whole weekend just eliminating two teams. So I don't know how you get to 14 in the college.
What I've heard they would do is kind of like in the NFL, your top two get the byes, and so it'd be like 3 through 14 would play in 6 different games that first week. You know, 1 and 2.
That's right.
That's what I've heard the format.
Down to 8. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. That could work. Okay. Yeah. Any other college stuff before we get into a bunch of still busy in the NFL? We want to get through some of these
That's the NFL.
Right. So the NFL, we have Devontae Parker. He was cut by the Patriots. You guys had that last week, but also he signed with the Eagles. I don't have any number. I don't have money on a lot of these people. If I have it, I'll give it to you. If I don't, but as Rick said last week, whatever. You know, money.
It doesn't matter. We're not paying it.
Danielle Hunter, 2 for $45 million from Houston. He's a defensive lineman, and I think he was on the Vikings before. So that's a big pickup for the Texans. Austin Hooper, tight end, came from the Raiders to the Patriots. Let's see what else we got. He's just coming 1 for $4.25 million. Las Vegas released Jimmy Garoppolo, and he is now going to be the backup for the Rams.
After he serves his suspension.
2-game suspension for PEDs or prescription drug, I should say. Hunter Renfrow was also cut. I don't think he's been picked up yet, and that's somebody that is a pretty good receiver. Let's see. Why don't we get him? We had a Hunter Renfrow before. We'll take another one. We had a baseball one. Let's see. So then what do we got? Okay, we have Calvin Ridley, 4 years for $92 million with Tennessee, and that was the top receiver on the board. So if they can figure out if Tannehill can actually get him the ball. I don't know if you guys had it. I think you did last week that Derrick Henry went to the Ravens.
Yes, we had that one.
Yeah, I think you did. So there you go. Okay, Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes has taken a leaf from Tom Brady's book, and it's a good leaf to take. He's turned some of his money back, at the $21 million back into the pool, and he'll get it as a bonus later or whatever to help Kansas City with cap flexibility. So that's what Brady used to do. He always want to keep the team together and keep on trucking. Joe Flacco, 1 year deal with the Colts, and back up to Trent Richardson, who better stay healthy, because I don't think you really want a 40-year-old guy, you know. And that's what Rick was saying last week, that you know he's got to learn when to go down. And that's the key. And you know, if he learns it, he's going to be great. He was a great start last year, but just didn't last.
So, Bill, you could have your Joe Flacco Indianapolis Colts.
That's true. Huh? Hey, he was on the Calitrol of last season till the last few weeks.
Yep, till October or so. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Eric Armstead, 3 years for $51 million from Jacksonville. He was a former 49er who got cut. Then we have... Joe Mixon was traded from Cincinnati to Houston and got a 3-year extension from Houston and perhaps about $27 million. Let's see, Minnesota and Houston they swapped a lot of draft choices. Bottom line is Houston moved down to 42 and Minnesota now has 11 and 23. And the rumor is that they might try to package them, go up to the Chargers for that, and maybe try to get J.J. McCarthy. That's the rumor that's floating around. And there's swaps for sixes and sevens and so forth later on down the pipe. But we're never going to remember it until you get to draft day and they tell you, oh, that was the Minnesota from 2 years ago. Okay. Aaron Donald retired. That's a big retirement after 10 years with the Rams, defensive tackle, 32 years old, born in Pittsburgh and played for Pitt also, all 10 years as well with the Rams. The Super Bowl 56 winner, 3-time Defensive Player of the Year, 10 Pro Bowls, that's as good as you can get in 10 years, Defensive Rookie of the Year in 2014. He's on the way to the Hall of Fame first ballot, no question.
Hold on just 1 second. Chris Robert, go ahead.
Okay.
Okay, now what was it going to on the Minnesota thing, I heard they're negotiating with the Cardinals to move all the way up to number 4.
Okay, there you go. They don't want to take any chance. And if that, is it that they want J.J. McCarthy? Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, and they say that if they move up to number 4, the first 4 picks will be all quarterbacks.
I'm sure that it looks like the Patriots, Commanders, Bears are going to do that. So
the Vikings are going to negotiate with Arizona, it looks like, to move up to 4. And if that's the case, mm-hmm. they want McCarthy. And
Here's an interesting situation. Pittsburgh has a very interesting situation.
Yes,
Kenny Pickett was traded to Philadelphia. You know, this is, we already knew that Russell Wilson was going to Pittsburgh. I think we had that last week.
Yep.
So Kenny Pickett to Philadelphia, and Pickett for Pittsburgh gets a 3 and a 2 and some 7, you know, 7, you know, whatever. They get some picks. Pickett and a 4 went, and they got a 2 and a 3 and a 7 in different years. By the way, Mason Rudolph to Tennessee. So there go your quarterbacks you had last year. Trubisky was already gone, went to Buffalo. Now you don't have Pickett. So what did you do? You bring in Russell Wilson. Well, you're not done. Then Chicago traded Justin Fields to Pittsburgh. And that the way that works is probably drafting Caleb Williams for the Bears and gets a 6 in 2025, Bears do. But it could go to a 4 if Fields plays 51% of the snaps. Will he play 51% of the snaps? As I pointed out to Rick when we were talking today, because he was giving me some last-minute names, you know, the thing is, you got 2 of last year's starters competing for 1 job. So this is crazy.
So Jamal, do you think the Bears got enough for Fields?
Well, I've heard a story that the Bears had a better offer for Fields, but they turned it down supposedly because the better offer the team had an established starter, quote unquote. But to me, if that's the case, then I say shame on the Bears because they want to trade.
Did you hear who the team was?
No, They did not mention that in the report.
Oh, okay. But what you want to be doing is rooting for Kenny Pickett for Fields to play, because if he gets up to 51%, then you get a 4 instead of a 6.
Well, and given the way Russell Wilson is, that may not be out of the realm of possibility, actually.
Oh, no.
It is possible.
It wouldn't surprise me the least, guys, if Fields does so well that they might cut Russell Wilson.
You're not going to lose much cutting him. You could be right, because if he's being disruptive, you could draft a young quarterback, you probably will. And if Russell Wilson's being a pain in the butt, which he's been before, and he's not going to start, you could see out the door like Cam Newton did that time a few years ago, with the Patriots.
Right. Yep. And my concern is, okay, the Bears draft Caleb Williams. Well, who the hell's going to back up Caleb Williams? And,
how about Russell Wilson?
that wouldn't surprise me. Nothing surprises me with the Bears.
Nothing will surprise. This is one of the craziest things I've seen. This is going to be a crazy. If they could do Hard Knocks, they can't make them do it, I guess, depending on the rules that they have. But Hard Knocks would be perfect for the Steelers this year. That would be perfect.
Yeah. Right. If Williams is the real deal, then who knows how far the Bears could go? Because they got weapons now. They got receivers.
Yep. We'll get some of that. Okay.
Not like,
Okay. Thanks, Jamal. Okay. Mike Vrabel to Cleveland as a consultant on the coaching front. Sam Howell to Seattle to back up Geno Smith. Sam Darnold ended up with Minnesota somehow or another. I missed that one before, but he did. So he's there to start for the Vikings, I guess this year. Minnesota could try to move up for McCarthy, as we said. KJ Osborne, speaking of the Vikings, will be with the Patriots this year. 1 year, he's a possession receiver, had 48 catches last year. He gets over 500 yards a year. So, you got to have somebody, and that's a good pickup. New Orleans signed Chase Young 1 year for $13 million. And he was the one that I think was traded from the Commanders to San Francisco, was it, last year? Thanks.
Yes. Yep.
That's where he went, but he's now with New Orleans.
I will get you, Sean, as soon as we get through these. And Robert, you too. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, Jerry Jeudy, 3 years for a $58 million extension with Cleveland. Can he stay healthy? That is always the question with him. Hardly ever plays. Deontay Johnson to Carolina from Pittsburgh for a defensive back, for a receiver. Jordan Poyer, defensive back to Miami from Buffalo from before, remember? Darnell Mooney to Atlanta, so that's the Bears receiver going there. Hollywood Brown went to Kansas City. Of course, they needed a receiver. We're almost done with the names because Rick gave me a few extras, about 3 or 4 more. Rick's always got more names. Nyheim Hines to Cleveland from Buffalo, remember him from the Colts before, and Desmond Ridder to Arizona. Remember the big quarterback from Atlanta there in the last couple of years who kept turning it over down on the team's 1 yard line. He's going to do that for the Cardinals as a backup. Janu Smith to Miami, the tight end who hasn't done anything in 3 years. Gerald Everett to Chicago, another tight end. Devin Dubonnet to Jacksonville, big Colts special, Ravens special teamer. And Pittsburgh, Van Jefferson, who used to be out of the Rams. And Brandon McManus, the kicker, was picked up by the Commanders. And Josh Dobbs, quarterback, went to San Francisco. Yes, Robert or Sean?
Okay, real quickly, getting back to the Pittsburgh Steelers, really, they're not giving up much. I mean, a 6-round draft pick, a $1.2 million contract, and a rookie contract for these two quarterbacks. And if it doesn't work out, because Pittsburgh's not going to pick up that fifth-year option, I've heard. They're just going to wait, and if Fields works out, they'll sign him next year. If Wilson works out, they'll re-sign him and, let Fields go. So they're not really giving up much for it. So,
Well, remember, guys, with Justin Fields, this is the last cheap year. Pittsburgh has to decide by May whether they're going to pick up the $25 million.
They're not going to.
I don't think they will either. Also, one more signing that Rick did not have, and Patriots fans will be happy about this. Trent Brown is no longer a Patriot. He went to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I did hear that, and I was going to throw it in. And then as Jim Murray, the guy who does the Sports Flash, said that lazy lump of lead, Trent Brown sign for the.
The Raiders fans feel that way about him too, Chris.
So, yeah. So
By the way, a story just coming across from CBS Sports. Apparently, Clemson is now joining with Florida State trying to figure out a way to exit the ACC. The only problem they're going to have with these lawsuits is when they signed this deal with ESPN, it was unanimous. So Clemson and Florida State got into
voted for it. Yep.
Full well mm-hmm. knowing. So, but that just came across.
Okay. Yeah, they do this every couple months just to remind us.
Yes, they do.
You know, any more NFL before we do hit on baseball?
No, and we probably have a lot of baseball now.
We do have some baseball. The thing is, we will do our picks next week, so everybody will come in and have their picks ready. And because we will have two games, tomorrow and Thursday. But the real season will opener as are on the 28th, so a week from Thursday. Baseball, we have Lucas Giolito. He actually underwent the internal brace procedure. So he could come back early next year. So he didn't have the Tommy John, which would take him to the middle of next year. The White Sox traded Dylan Cease. Now, this was the one big starter that, you know, they traded Giolito during the deadline machinations, but they did not trade Dylan Cease. Everybody was waiting for that shoe to drop. It never did. They now trade him to the Padres for three prospects coming back from San Diego and relief pitcher Steven Wilson. Devin Williams, the Milwaukee closer, will miss at least 3 months because of stress fractures, not just a fracture,
right.
Stress fractures in his spine. So don't know what happened to him, but anyway. So this is a weird loophole thing that happened. J.D. Davis had been waived by San Francisco and not claimed because he'd make $6.9 million, which he loses most of because he won his arbitration. And so, and then if a team releases somebody, then they don't get their money that they won in the arbitration. That doesn't seem fair somehow. Now he's going to Oakland for $2.5 million, but San Francisco does have to pay him. A's are paying $1.15. The Giants pay him $2.5 million. So, but he won't get his $6 million or whatever he was supposed to get that he got in the arbitration. So that was kind of strange. It's a weird loophole that players need to look at, I would think. So anyway. And we have a Mets fan in our baseball group who says she would like him to come back to the Mets. So we'll see. It certainly could go somewhere else because J.D. Davis isn't the kind of player the A's necessarily have. They usually have the rookies and so forth. San Francisco signed, and that's because the Giants signed Matt Chapman. And the Giants also signed, what's his name here? I'm looking for
Blake Snell.
Blake Snell for 1 year. For $31 million with a player option for next year. So the Giants, at the last minute, pulled it out of the hat. They basically did what people wanted them to do. When you listen to that podcast last year with Bruce Jenkins and the guys, they were saying, you know, they need to get a pitcher, a couple of pitchers, they need to get a hitter, you know, and they did. They finally did. You know, the Red Sox did not. I mean, they did get Giolito, but then he got hurt, and that's not their fault. But Giolito had mixed reviews. But so does this guy. You know, this is not necessarily a signing that's going to go well for them. Blake Snell had, yes, he won Cy Youngs, but he's also had a lot of walks and so forth. So we're going to see how he
and
does.
I guess, Chris, the Red Sox have had several Zoom meetings with Jordan Montgomery, but that's as far as it's gone. Robin.
No.
Okay, am I unmuted?
Yes,
you are.
Okay. Let me straighten out the J.D. Davis thing. He was offered $6.5 million before they went to arbitration. He won $6.9 million.
Okay.
But there's a loophole in the agreement that if a player wins the salary arbitration and then the team decides to release him for whatever reason, most of that salary goes back to the team. So the Giants are paying the $1.5 million or whatever it is that they got to pay, and Oakland is paying him $2.5 million. But that is a loophole that the Players Association in the next agreement, I'm sure, is going to want to fix because.
Yeah,
you know,
so he's only, instead of getting 6.9, he's only getting about four, is what he's getting.
Right,
yeah.
But the problem with that is the Players Association agreed to that.
They did.
I know they did. And there's a big story going on with the Players Association right now that they're trying to get their lawyer fired who made this agreement because a lot of the players seem to be upset about the J.D. Davis situation and the fact that free agents aren't getting the money that they're supposed to Chris Russo was talking about that this afternoon, so that's something to stay tuned for. Apparently, there's a big column in the Athletic. Ken Rosenthal wrote a big thing on it, and so I don't know when the next agreement is up for the players. I don't know how.
It is at the end of 2026.
Okay, well, apparently this is something we're going to have to pay attention to.
Okay.
Because apparently it's something that players are going to fight for. But anyway, that's all I've got.
Okay, well, Robert, no, you got one more thing I want you to talk about. The Giants had that good offseason. They picked up Blake Snell. They did all that other stuff, but they also had a PR, I would think, disaster by firing their PA announcer, didn't they?
Look, anybody can fire anybody whenever they want to, but the problem is she is a female, and she's also black. So they're getting slammed on both sides here. Because their main owner, Charles Johnson, contributes to Republican candidates and whatnot, and we all know how the Republicans think. So the Giants are, and they don't have a replacement in mind. And she'd been there for 24 years. She'd been the only voice in that ballpark. And fans are very upset that, you know, she, and all she did apparently was ask for a raise, and they said no. So,
how dare she? Yeah. Ronnell Brooks Moon is her name.
That is correct.
Right.
Sadly, though, a lot of teams this year have not given raises and things like that to people. You know,
right.
Now, I don't think they were necessarily affected by it, but, you know, a lot of teams are still saying the reason they didn't do much this year is this regional sports network thing. I don't know. I don't think the Giants were affected by that.
No, they're in
Giants,
NBC. They're okay.
The Giants own most, I think they own some of or a good portion of the NBC Sports Bay Area and the NBC Sports California. So I don't think the Giants.
And I think they own KNBR and, you know, so forth. So
Well, KNBR is part ownership of the, they're part of the ownership.
They're part of the ownership of the Giants.
Yeah.
Garrett Cole is going to be out 1 to 2 months because he had a shoulder, a shoulder injury. They needed to do an MRI, and it sounds like one of these things, Perry, that they're sort of waiting to see if he's going to need surgery. Is that sort of the deal?
Well, they're hoping he's not going to need surgery. That's the thing. They're hoping.
Yeah. And let's see. What else is going on? I think we got a couple more. Oh, Blake Snell, we talked about him already. And the Reds, we have T.J. Friedel. Broke his wrist, so he's going to be out for a while, outfielder for the Reds. And we have,
Noel B. Marte
is suspended 80 games for PED use. So that's not good for the Reds.
I'm guessing, now Jennifer, we heard from Bill on it earlier, but I'm guessing the Reds fans are extremely happy about that, about Mr. Marte.
As far as I know, they really, it's, you know, that's too bad because he's not thinking about his team at all. That's for sure.
No,
that's correct.
And I'm sorry for TJ Friedel's. He was going to have a hard time this year anyway, because his little girl has leukemia and she's been going through chemo and everything. And they think they have it in remission, but she's, he's just having a hard year.
And he wasn't, he wasn't doing too bad this spring either.
No, he kind of picked up where he left off last year, and he's a bat that you can always use a good bat.
And that's
Joey Votto is with the Toronto now, yes. Too. That's another thing. He hit a home run the other day. Not that he's necessarily going to make the team. He might or he might not, but, Joey Votto, and he's from Canada. I didn't know that.
He is. That's the thing, though, about our division, though, Jennifer, is it's so tight in that division. The last thing you want is to start the season with injuries.
No, right.
You know,
there was some rumor, I don't know all of the details, but there was some rumor that they were trying to squelch some of the reporters that Jose Barrero had something to do with Noel D. Marte's little mishap too. So
now I think though if they go to the playoffs this year, I don't believe he would be eligible to play in the playoffs
the 80 games would be up. Okay.
Right. I think the rule is it's 80 games, but if you go to the playoffs, if it's in that year, the Padres guy, he went to the playoff, but that's because his was the year before.
Okay.
So, I'm surprised with all the rules and everything, they ought to know better by now. I'm surprised they don't just kick him off the team and say, see ya.
Well, you know, Jennifer, when we were young, did we ever try to get away with anything?
I did, and I was a perfect young person.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you were.
Oh, we did, but that's a dumb thing, because you know they're going to test you for that.
Yep, and if you guys believe that, I got some land to sell you. But there I do have to sell you on this. We are done, so stay tuned. Book Talk is coming right up. We will be back next week. And we'll make our baseball picks. We'll talk about the tournament and all that. So we will see you next week.